It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We are, more than a week now since night one of the NFL draft. It seemed like it was just yesterday, but still plenty to talk about with the Giants' newest players. They will arrive here at the Timex Performance Center next Thursday, and we'll get our first look at them in person. He joined us before the draft to break down who the Giants were going to select. Now he joins us afterwards to talk about the players for a few minutes, and we welcome in Rob Rang, draft expert, contributor to CBS Sports. Rob, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Rob, no problem. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you've been taking a big sigh of relief this past week or so with the draft finally being over. What's your overall take on the Giants' 7 selections?
I thought there was just another impressive draft class for the Giants. It seems like New York every year, rebuilds their offensive and defensive lines, and I think that's the way to do it. I think that's the way to remain competitive and never have that drop-off, is to continually refresh the talent with the big guys up front.
Now, a lot of people thought Justin Pugh maybe more of a second-round pick, maybe a little bit of a reach at number 19 in the first round. You know, people talk about the short arms. Maybe he projects more of a guard than a tackle. What's your overall take on Justin Pugh?
Well, I agree that it might have been a little bit of a reach. I had him going in the late 30s to the top of the second round. At the same time, I saw a guy who on tape was a standout performer throughout his career at left tackle. And if we hadn't had this focus on the short arm complex, then I think that we wouldn't have batted an eye to see Justin Pugh go in the top 10 to 15 picks of this year's draft class. We obviously saw the way that offensive tackles went off the board. I mean, the first two picks, of course, were offensive tackles. Three of the first four picks were offensive tackles. And so I think the Giants weren't necessarily just looking at Pugh, but just at the run on offensive linemen early. You better grab your guy rather than try and get too cute.
Yeah, no question about it. And you believe Pugh is polished enough, physical enough to come in and start in year one in the NFL?
I do. And my biggest concern, again, is the arm length. Because if you're going to make that transition inside the guard, then that's where the shorter arms could be an issue. Because, you know, talented defensive tackles with long arms are going to be able to get into his chest a little bit. And that is going to be a transition from playing offensive tackle throughout his career. So that's my biggest area of concern. But at the same time, I was impressed by Pugh's ability to do exactly that, hold up physically at the point of attack, when I got to scout him at first in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl.
Well, Giant fans will certainly like to hear that. Let's go to their second-round pick, John Hankins. And if this draft was held back in January, Hankins could have very well been a first-round pick, Rob. Some questions about his motor, his stamina, things of that nature. What was your overall take on Hankins?
Hankins is a remarkable athlete. I mean, he has, unfortunately, a little bit of a sloppier build than you might like. He carries a little bit too much weight around his middle. But at the same time, he has remarkably light feet for that build. And so I think that is one of the reasons why some have questioned his work ethic or questioned his consistency. It's just because it's almost remarkable how well he moves for that build. But I see a guy who was productive, was almost mercilessly double and triple teamed while at Ohio State. And so as a pure run stuffer in the middle, he makes a lot of sense. And you said it. I mean, if the draft would have been held in January, not only him, but DeMontre Moore and maybe Ryan Nassib as well, all of them could have wound up going in the first round.
All right, well, let's obviously you think Hankins can step in and be a run stopper right away in the NFL. The Giants certainly need it. How about Demontre Moore? Now, there's no question about his production and his ability to turn the corner and be a pass rusher in passing situations. Why do you think he dropped the way he did, and are those concerns unfounded, or are there legitimate reasons to be worried about this kid?
Well, I think that of the players that the Giants invested in their picks in the first and second day of the draft, Demontre Moore is the guy who does have some development to him. So I don't know that you necessarily should be expecting an immediate impact out of him. Although when you have the talented defensive line that the Giants have as a rotation, there could be some production there as a backup and developmental prospect. The biggest reason why he fell is that he just proved to be not the caliber of athlete that everybody expected, because, as you mentioned, he did have such incredible production while at Texas A&M, not only as a defensive end in a 4-3 defense, but also as a 3-4 rush linebacker. And so because he had shown that versatility and he had been incredibly productive, then a lot of people expected, myself included, expected him to be an absolute lights-out athlete, and he proved himself to not be that. And I have more concerns, frankly, about the lack of strength at the point of attack than I do about athleticism, just because he does have a quick first step. You mentioned that he has enough bend to turn the corner and close, and I think that he is a guy who has the quickness to accelerate and be able to make tackles in short areas. And that doesn't necessarily translate into a 40-yard dash time, for example. But the lack of strength is a bit of a concern. That's why I think that once he gets into an NFL weight room, has a year to add some strength to his body, then I really think the Giants are going to wind up getting a steal here, but it is going to take a little bit of time. And that is the biggest reason, in my opinion, why he slipped down the board a little bit. It's because he just physically is not the most impressive kid to look at initially. But once, like I said, he gets a little bit stronger, then I think you're going to have a real polished product there.
Yeah, apparently he played at 250 this year. By the time he got drafted, he already went up to 260. The Giants think he can even get up to 270 by the first day of the regular season. But the interesting thing to me is that people say the strongest part of him is actually his upper body, but his number of reps at the combine were still low. They say he has to get a much wider trunk and be stronger down there to stand up as an anchor against the run. Do you see him as a two-way player down the road, or is he going to be purely a situational pass rusher?
No, I definitely see him as a two-way player. I think he's going to end up being a star. It's going to take a little while. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, as we talked about, has the athletic ability that you're looking for off the edge. And what I like most about him is his motor. I mean, this kid played hard on every snap, and so because of that fact, I really think that he has the work ethic you're looking for to eventually take advantage of his skill set, and it's an impressive skill set. He does have good athleticism. He has better football athleticism than he does workout athleticism, and I think that's something that the Giants have continually found players who match that, and it's just kind of proven the brilliance of general manager Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin's hard-nosed coaching style to get that out of their players.
Now, a lot of people were surprised that around number four, the Giants used one of those late-round picks that they value so much to draft a quarterback in Ryan Nassib, a guy they had a second-round grade on. I know some teams did have a second-round grade on him. Others had him as a fourth-round pick, where he did get selected in the NFL draft. What kind of player and quarterback are the Giants getting in Nassib, and what are some of the things that he has to improve on going from college to the NFL?
Well, the biggest thing that Ryan Nassib has to improve on is touch throws. He has a tendency to want to fireball every pass, and you have to be willing to throw with a little bit more variety. To steal an analogy from baseball, you know, if all you're doing is throwing fastballs, eventually hitters are going to acclimate and be able to just sit on that and adjust to the speed. So you have to be able to change things up a little bit, and that's something that Nassib, frankly, struggled with a little bit while at Syracuse, and again, while I got to watch him at the Senior Bowl. At the same time, what I like about him is the fact that he does have that fastball. He does have adequate size and athletic ability, and I love his toughness. To me, that is his most important trait that he brings to the quarterback position, and I think it's one of the most underrated elements of quarterback play in the NFL is is being physically and mentally tough and being the leader of men. And that is something that he offers you. Now, obviously, Eli Manning's job is secure.
Correct.
There's no question about that. But at the same time, to me, what Ryan Nassib presents is a potential starter someday and also an ideal backup, because he is so professional. He's such a hard worker that he is going to prepare himself as if he is the starter for every single week. And that's such a cliche. People think, oh, well, every backup quarterback does that. But that's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of quarterbacks out there who are backups and obviously are one snap away from getting into the game. But at the same time, they don't have the professionalism to prepare themselves for that. Ryan Nassib does have that professionalism, and I think that's one of the reasons why he makes absolute sense for the Giants as a backup, despite the fact that you have one of the more durable quarterbacks in all the league.
Well, going down that same path then, Rob, a lot of people have talked about how now the Giants, who have always been a two-quarterback team in terms of their roster, they might want to carry three this year because Nassib maybe not ready to be the primary backup in year one. You want to keep David Carr at a veteran. Do you think Nassib is smart enough and will develop quickly enough where the Giants can have him as their primary backup in year number one?
I think they could. At the same time, I'm higher on Dave Carr than a lot of people have been. As he is a guy that, you know, also has the professionalism. Obviously, he took some pounding early in his career, and I think that is unfortunately ruined or at least lost a lot of the luster after his, of course, being the number one overall pick years ago with Houston. But at the same time, I think that Nassib ultimately has a higher upside, and I do like the toughness, and that's why I think that the pick does make some sense. And as you mentioned, the Giants have gone two quarterbacks in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if this is very much an open competition and there's only two quarterbacks on the Giants roster when it's all said and done.
All right, let's quickly take a look then at the final few picks for the Giants. They in the fifth round drafted the very, very physical and big Cooper Taylor, a guy who's around 6'3", 230, a big safety. The Giants say they're not going to try to convert him to linebacker. How does he project for you, Rob?
Well, he's a good athlete. He's an interesting player. I got to watch him at the Shrine game a little bit. And, obviously anytime you're going to be making a transition from Richmond to the NFL, that's going to take some adjusting. But he is a better athlete than you might think looking at him. He has good instincts. And so I think he's an interesting guy because he was a player that I know a lot of clubs had targeted on day three. And because of the size and athletic ability, he makes a lot of sense as a developmental prospect.
All right, and the last two picks, let's just get through them real quick. Eric Herman, a guard out of Ohio, and Michael Cox, a running back out of UMass with very little college experience running the football. Your quick snapshot on those two guys.
Well, the guard is very strong, and so I like that. I like him in a power-based offense. And then the back, as you mentioned, I just haven't seen enough tape on him. He's an interesting athlete, and I like the fact that the Giants, this is a draft that had a lot more talent at running back in the later stages than it did in the first round, so it makes a lot more sense to take him to that spot.
Rob, finally, just give me a snapshot of the NFC East in terms of how the other three teams did on their draft. Anything stand out to you? Anything seems particularly good? Any big steals or any big disasters?
I don't think that there was any disasters. I thought the Dallas Cowboys draft got a little better as the draft went on. I thought there was a little bit of a reach with the center, Travis Frederick, in the first round, but I like some of their day three selections. The Philadelphia Eagles were fascinating just because of Chip Kelly's adjustment to the NFL, and Matt Barkley is a very interesting quarterback for them just because of the fact that he does not fit what we thought would be Chip Kelly's offense in the NFL. So that's fascinating. And I really like the Washington Redskins picks. I like the fact that they went for playmakers. I always try and grade teams highly that are bold, and the Redskins were terrible in the secondary a year ago. They took three absolute playmakers, a cornerback and two safeties, that had a lot of interceptions, so I like the fact that the Redskins were addressing their biggest area of concern so aggressively.
Rob, great stuff. We appreciate the help, and I'm sure you're already starting to prepare for the draft in 2014, aren't you?
I am, absolutely.
All right, appreciate the time, bud. I thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Rob Rang, draft expert for CBS Sports, among others, does an excellent job. 201-939-4513. Dave in California held through that entire call. We appreciate that. Dave, good morning. How you doing?
513.
Good morning, guys.
Dave, what's going on, man? How are you?
Well, my name is Abe, but thank you anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, Abe. Abe, long time no speak. How you been?
I am doing great, and I just want to let you know I have really enjoyed your program, especially this week. I would like to give you a little bit of a shout-out because there was a caller on Wednesday that asked a question about Tuck and Osi, and, you know, these guys want more money, and then they come out and they say, we want more money to play, and then Osi comes out and says, well, this year I'm going to be the defensive player of the year. And you so passionately and emotionally manifested really what was going on in Tuck's life. And certainly I, as a Giant fan living in California, don't really hear a lot of the news of what's going on sometimes in a player's life. And I really appreciate you bringing to me and some of the other fans really, you know, hearing about a guy's personal life and going through, you know, the tragedy of death looming around, you know, a family. But anyway, my question to you is, when the players are drafted, I have two questions. When the players are drafted, John,
yes,
are they automatically make the team, or obviously they've got to make it to the last cut, I would assume. Do they, how does that work? Are they all guaranteed a spot on the team?
Well, everybody that's drafted, Abe, gets a contract, and the contract, to a certain extent, is guaranteed. Everyone has some type of signing bonus in that rookie contract when they get drafted. That being said, the Giants have cut seventh-round picks a lot during training camp, so nobody drafted is guaranteed a roster spot, but they are guaranteed some sort of money, and even guys that are undrafted that come in are given some bonuses to sign that will be considered guaranteed money, even if they don't end up making the roster. But these guys will have to compete for a spot just like everybody else.
I see. And my last question, John, if you would answer it,
sure,
is I don't know what department handle the restricted free agents and the unrestricted free agents. And I am wondering, the Giants obviously know who they're going to be for the following year. Is there any way that they could have put some sort of safeguard knowing which ones would be based on the salary cap, which ones they could keep, which ones they're going to relinquish? Was there any way down the road they could have, like I said, maybe put some type of safeguard in place so that way you don't have as many leave the team?
I don't know if you have a safeguard, Abe, that you can put in place, but you can plan financially and decide not to bring certain guys back to make sure when you get to next year and the year after, when you have guys like, you know, Cruz is an unrestricted, Joseph, Knicks, and then JPP, that you have the salary cap space, which you can sign these guys two long-term contracts. So you just manage your budget accordingly, knowing when these guys are going to get their next big bump. You know what I mean?
Right.
I appreciate it, Abe. Thank you for the kind words, and thanks for the call.
Have a wonderful day now.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Abe. 201-939-4513. Eddie's in North Carolina. Eddie, good morning.
John, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good. Thanks for calling, Eddie. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Listen, I don't have a question. I've been listening all week. I just got a couple of comments about some of the things that were said.
Sure, what do you got?
Okay, first of all, I hear a lot about, a lot of people are saying Pugh is going to have a chance to start and compete.
Yeah.
Now, you know the Giants don't normally start rookies, and a junior in college starting at right tackle with Eli at quarterback, I just don't see it. I think he's got a lot of work he's got to do in the weight room first before they put him out there.
Eddie, he will have to earn it. They're not going to hand it to him. And if I implied that this week, I shouldn't have, because the Giants will make sure that the best player that they have is out there at right tackle. If it's David Deal, it's going to be David Deal. If it's Justin Pugh, it's going to be Justin Pugh. If it's James Brewer, it's going to be James Brewer. Only whoever plays the best in the offseason and in preseason will be starting there. If it's Pugh, great. If it's not, the Giants, as you put it so eloquently, will not put Eli Manning at risk.
Right. Secondly, I heard Mike Eliason tell a caller the other day that he thought, you know, why would the caller wanted to pick a receiver in the fourth round instead of the quarterback.
Okay.
And Michael Eisen said that, why would the Giants devalue the pick? Well, didn't they devalue the first pick because they needed a defensive tackle? Obviously, they picked one in the second round. You had Floyd sitting there, who some people thought was the best player in the draft, and the Giants didn't take him. And in the second round, they took somebody that nobody ever heard of.
Well,
they devalue that pick?
I mean, I don't know what the Giants draft board looked like. I don't know where they had Sharif Floyd on their draft board. I honestly don't. I mean, it's possible that, unlike a lot of teams in the league who had him as a top 10 player, maybe the Giants didn't. Maybe the Giants didn't value his skills as a one technique, you know, nose tackle that's going to fill as much as other teams. Maybe they believe that in that role as a one technique guy, which basically means you're playing, you know, between the center and the guard, and it's your job to take up space, draw double teams, and stop the run. Maybe it's their belief that the guy they got in the second round, John Hankins, will be just as good filling that role as Sharif Floyd. And that's why they passed on Floyd there in round one to take an offensive lineman, which is pretty obvious, would not have been there when they chose in the second round. And then they got their defensive tackle in round number two, and they came out with two players that they liked and can help them in year number one.
Well, that's true. They needed an offensive lineman, but they couldn't stop the run last year. So I thought the bigger need was defensive tackle, and I thought they let one of the best ones get away.
Well, you know what? Again, I'm not sure how much higher they had Floyd than Hankins on their board. I can try and find that out. I don't know at this time. But I think they're pretty confident that in Hankins they have a guy, and you just heard Rob Rank talk about him, that's a great athlete for his size and should be able to step in right away and stop the run on first and second down on the NFL level.
Last thing.
Yeah.
Linebacker. You know, the Giants still do not have a linebacker that can stay on the field for three downs.
Well, Jaquan Williams might.
If they play Connor and Rivers on first down, teams are going to pass. If they play Williams and Pacinger on third down in passing situations, teams are going to run depending on the down and distance. So I heard Mike Eisen say, well, we still have 3 months. The teams are going to cut players. Do you really build a championship team taking other players that teams cut? Other players, that team's cut.
You know what?
I still think they need a linebacker, and they're still going to have a problem until they decide to draft a linebacker in the first or second round.
You can fill your roster in different ways, and I don't think there's any problem with plugging holes with guys that get released around June 1st. I think it can help as part of the process. And I do think Jaquan Williams can be a three-down linebacker. If you're around, you see he's a pretty big kid. He has the size to stop the run, and he has the speed to defend the pass. So I think he is the only, probably, in all honesty, the only three-down linebacker the Giants have on their roster at the time. And I do think they do need to add somebody else. And there are some guys out there that can still play a little bit. You know, veterans like a Dansby, a Darryl Smith, guys like that. And maybe the Giants will bring in a veteran. But I think you have to add depth there, but I believe Jaquan Williams can be a three-down linebacker. And if he can stay healthy, which we don't know if he can, he's still young, he hasn't proven that yet, I think he can be a pretty darn good linebacker in this league. Eddie, we appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, John, good talking to you.
Hey, appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Anthony up in Massachusetts. Anthony, what's going on?
Not much, man. I just got a couple comments. I just want to bring up the Victor Cruz situation.
Sure.
Because Hakeem Nicks will be a free agent. So what I'm wondering is, if they don't get the deal done, we're going to lose one of them too, definitely. Because I don't think they're going to have the money next year to sign both of the guys. So Jerry Reese needs to start messing around and get a deal done with Victor Cruz before we lose him.
Well,
he's only
Anthony
played two seasons. 2,000-plus yard receiver. That dude's a Pro Bowler every year.
Yeah, but Anthony, the whole reason the Giants are taking the hard line that they are to try to get Victor Cruz at their number is so that they can sign Victor Cruz this year for that four-year deal. Let's say whatever, $8 million a year, $7 million a year, give or take. That way they'll have it in their budget to re-sign Hakeem Nicks, and you can have both of them. The problem you run into is that if you end up paying both as unrestricted free agents, where they're probably going to get on the open market $10 or $11 million a year, that's when you can't afford both of them. That's why Jerry Reese is dealing with Victor Cruz the way he is and trying to lock him up long-term as a restricted free agent now rather than waiting until next year. And I think that's the smart move. The worst thing you can do is give Victor Cruz $10 million a year this year. God forbid he has some type of injury this year, but you still have the money dedicated to him, and then you can't re-sign Akeem Nicks. Then you're really in bad shape. So I think Jerry Reese is handling it exactly the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't think like that because...
Why not?
Because you didn't draft a receiver in the draft. So that's where you messed up right there.
No, but last year you did. You have Reuben Randle. You have Reuben Randle waiting to step in as a starter for one of the two guys.
Yeah, but then you have a healthy 2,000-plus yard receiver every 2 years that needs a contract done. Or, you know, he's the face of the Giants franchise right now, honestly. That's how I see it. This dude is going to generate money for them. It don't matter. You can't compare him. Wes Welker is a nasty slot receiver. But if you look at his first 2 years, they do not compare to Victor Cruz's first 2 years. Victor Cruz will indeed be better than Wes Welker when it's
sure.
all said and done.
I agree. Victor Cruz is better than Wes Welker, and the Giants are prepared to pay him more than Wes Welker got paid. It's just Victor's decision whether or not he wants to take it.
$6 million. He's already in his 30s. He's getting $6 million a year for 2 years. So I think it's kind of an insult if you offer Victor Cruz $7 million a year.
First of all, you don't know.
One more million than what?
Well, first of all, you don't know exactly how much the Giants have offered Victor Cruz. And what I hear, it's somewhere between 7 and 8, possibly closer than 8. So I don't know what the offer is, and nobody else does either. That's number one. Number two, you want the Giants, who control all the leverage here. Victor Cruz cannot sign with another NFL team by NFL rules. He has to play for the Giants next year, or he's not going to play football at all. That's his choice here. So
on him, correct?
Exactly. He's a restricted free agent. So why would you pay him more than you have to now if you can push the decision down the road a little bit and then have more information to decide who you would rather have, Akeem Nicks or Victor Cruz, if you do, in fact, have to choose between the two next season?
I mean, yeah, that's what I was getting down to. That's what I was saying. I would, if I were Jerry Reese, I'd rather get the deal done just so we keep the both reps. I'll get the deal done with Victor Cruz, meet somewhere between the middle, so that way when Hakeem Nicks's contract is up by next season, it wouldn't be a big issue. Because honestly, I do like Hakeem Nicks, but I don't know. In the two seasons Victor Cruz has been up, he's just been dominant.
But the problem you have, if you pay
19 TDs.
Look, Anthony, I agree with you, and you can't argue Cruz's production. He's been great. But if you pay, and this is what I'm getting down to, if you pay Cruz too much money today, you might not have enough money to pay Akeem Nicks tomorrow. If you give Victor Cruz reasonable money, or you wait till next year when you have more information, there's a better chance of keeping both guys. If you overpay for Cruz now and you pay him that $10 or $11 million a year that he wants, you can't afford Akeem Nicks last year, and he will walk away. That's what the Giants are trying to avoid here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the call, sir. Anthony. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, I have one more comment.
Okay,
do you think,
real quick.
Do you think Taylor Cooper will end up starting this year at corner, yes or no?
At corner, no. I mean, he's a big safety. The Giants don't intend to move to linebacker.
I mean, at safety, I'm sorry.
That's okay, no problem. I think Will Hill has the step up on him at the moment. I don't think you would pencil in a fourth-round pick to start in year one. I think that's asking a little bit much. I think Will Hill is a better chance of being that third safety, but I think your two starters are Ontre Roll and Stevie Brown, and that's who it's going to be week one.
All right, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call, Anthony. Thanks a lot. It's our daily Victor Cruz update. I like to think as I talk to these guys, I'm starting to get through to them a little bit. I'm starting to get them to understand, you know? I feel like people are coming along to my way of thinking. I'm like a politician. It's one person at a time. I'm trying to sell my message. I'm going door to door. I'm shaking hands. I'm kissing babies. I'm putting up signs. I think I'm getting through to people, though. I think I'm making some progress. I think we're moving forward. I think we're making progress. One caller at a time. That's America, folks. That's Big Blue Football. 201-939-4513. Len in Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal? Good morning.
Hey,
I'm doing great, Len.
Listen, if you think it's bad amongst Giants fans this year, in talking about Victor Cruz, Big Blue Kickoff Live next year is going to explode when we have to talk about JPP, Linville Joseph, Hakeem Nicks, and maybe Victor Cruz himself. We'll have to be talking about four guys trying to get signed. This show is going to explode,
yeah,
John.
Can you imagine if Cruz plays under the tender, we'll have two unrestricted free agents last year in Cruz and Nicks. We'll have JPP 1 year away from being a free agent, and you'll have Linval Joseph as a free agent. It is going to be a mess. And by the way, Eli's getting pretty close to the point where he's going to have to sign an extension too.
Listen, you're going to hang out a shingle being Big Blue Kickoff, Big Blue Kickoff's Live's chief counselor and keeping us all calm.
I will charge a nickel a customer to try to talk people off the ledge.
Listen, real quick, you know, a couple of calls ago had a real good point, and I don't. He probably made it better than I've tried to make it in the past, but it was his point about the Giants saying that there'll be some free agents, some cuts out there, you know, releases by other teams with regard to linebackers. And I think I've said this before to you, John.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to beat the better teams with other teams' rejects.
Yeah, but sometimes teams reject
by getting players at those positions that are better than what they're keeping.
Yeah, Len, I hear what you're saying, but sometimes people reject players not necessarily because of skill level. It's because of salary concerns. That's the same reason the Giants, for example, let go of Barry Cofield. They thought he was an excellent player. They would have loved to have Barry Cofield back at the right price, but the way their salary was structured, they couldn't do it. So he's a good player. You know, the Redskins signed him, and he's been a good player for them. He wasn't Giants garbage. He wasn't a Giants reject. He just didn't fit under their financial plan.
But John, you know, from a PR standpoint, that's a great reason. You know? You know, we like the player, but he just didn't fit under our salary cap. I mean, the bottom line is they don't like that particular player. And at this point, we're not going to be picking up stars. We're going to be picking up rejects, John. I mean, it's not the free agency period. Here's what I'm concerned about with the linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way I felt 3 years ago with special teams. I went through the preseason, and I looked at that special teams, and I said to some folks, Big Blue Kickoff Live wasn't on yet, so I didn't get a chance to say this to you guys.
Fair enough.
I said to them, somewhere during this season, special teams are going to hurt us. And it came to roost. Our special teams were terrible. There were a couple of games that, you know, special teams just really hurt us. And I'm starting to feel the same way about this linebacker. This linebacker crew, geez, John, I mean, how many teams do we have better line? I don't care if we play a, you know, play a 4-1-6 defense. We still got one linebacker on the field. Our defensive, and there is a possibility that our defensive line could just really be outstanding this year. I mean, you know, with the probable addition of Hankins here, you know, that he stays healthy and everybody stays healthy. I mean, it could be a dominant defensive line. And, of course, that's going to help the linebackers. That will indeed help the linebackers.
It should.
You know, this draft, John, I'm trying to get more positive about 2013 with this draft. I keep thinking if we're looking at 2015, you know, this draft is a B+, maybe it's an A-. But, John, we were 9-7, didn't make the playoffs. The Super Bowl's in our stadium.
Yep.
Eli's, we're losing years with Eli, John. This is not about the future.
You drafted two starters. I mean, Hankins and Pugh, I bet you will probably start week one, Len. I mean, can you ask for more than two starters in year one out of a draft?
As one of the previous callers said, let me ask you a question about
Pugh,
John, honestly. Sunday night, opening game, division rival, on the road, Sunday night football, Dallas Cowboys. Justin Pugh is not going to start at right tackle, John.
I think he can. I don't think there's any doubt that he can. Do you have more faith in James Brewer? Do you have more faith in a guy that's been on the team and hasn't been able to earn his way on the field? Or a guy like David Deal, who was on the verge of, you know, he took a pay cut, which usually means if you're willing to take a pay cut, you're not that far away from getting cut. Let's be honest.
And his pay cut was massive, John.
Yep.
I mean, I know where you're going with that about David. And I just hate to talk, you know, negatively about Deal, because he's been a terrific Giant.
I love great David player. Deal. He's been a great
Giant.
Yeah,
great player. I mean, you know, you look it up in the dictionary, you look football player up in the dictionary, there's a picture of David Deal.
No question.
Now, I mean, he's a great, but God, they cut his salary in half. I mean, they can't think he's going to be a starting tackle. But I mean, I really wish I had the whole preseason. I wish we were closer to the opening game for a lot of reasons. I can't wait for the season to start. But let me say it, bold, and get your response to this, John. Four of the first five picks, John, won't get a jersey opening night. You want to think about that for a while? We can talk next week. I don't want to dominate the conversation.
No, that's okay. I think Moore, Hankins, and Pugh will all get a jersey opening night. I don't think, if I had to guess now, I'd say Nassib won't because I think he'll be the third quarterback. And I think Taylor could get a jersey as a special teamer.
Okay.
Maybe. All right. Maybe.
And I certainly respect your opinion. I don't think Nassib will get a jersey all year.
I think there's a chance Nassib does not dress all year. I do think that's possible. But I think the top three picks, assuming they're healthy, will dress for every single game.
The top three picks?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I respect your opinion on that. And John, we'll talk next week, and let's go Giants.
Len, enjoy your weekend. Who do you have in the Derby,
John,
Len?
I'm looking forward to it. You too.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
You know, Len's all about the stars. They may have a Derby horse. I guess not. It's okay. 201-939-4513. Very busy phones this morning. Good job, guys. Brandon's up in Rochester. Brandon, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's up, bud? How are you?
Just real quick, back to what you said about Cruz. Before today, I was getting pissed off about the situation, but you make it sound a lot better today.
I'm trying to. So. I'm trying to, Brandon.
I wanted to talk about the draft a little bit.
Sure.
I think, because this morning, listening to the show, I was looking at all the picks from all seven rounds, and I think the Giants could have had a better draft. If you look in the first round, if you just look at the pick after Justin Pugh.
Who'd you want?
You got guys like Floyd, Werner. I like Xavier Rhodes a lot. Zatone Jones. I think those are all guys that could have drafted over Pugh.
Yeah, I hear you, but two things there. One, do we know that Floyd, in terms of how the Giants want to use him, is that much better than Hankins? Is he better? Probably, sure. I mean, he was rated in the top 10 by most teams. But how much better? And you know you're not going to get an offensive lineman that can start for you in round number two, considering how fast they went off the board. That's number one. Number two, if I go back to even the 1st of April, a lot of people had DeMontre Moore ranked just as high in their draft boards as Werner, and they had him just as high as Tone Jones. So I think the Giants got great value where they picked. And I think, yes, was Pugh, you know, the 20th best player on a lot of teams' boards? No, he wasn't. But the bottom line is if you didn't draft an offensive lineman there, you weren't going to get one that would be able to start for you week one, especially at tackle.
Great. Yeah, I love the DeMontre Moore pick. I was really excited when I saw it. And then going back later into the draft, around where Ryan Nassib was signed.
Yeah.
If you look after them, Kashim Green from Rutgers, I thought for sure they were going to pick him around that area. And from Syracuse, Shamarco Thomas, I think both of those guys could have came in. I'm really upset they didn't get Kashim Green out of Rutgers, the outside linebacker.
Yeah, you know what? He's a fast guy. I think the Giants probably felt it. And again, this is just my analysis. Yeah. They have a guy like Jaquan Williams who's already very athletic, very fast. They have a guy like Spencer Paysinger who's in the same body type as a Kasim Green. I think the Giants thought they kind of had that position filled. As for Shamarco Thomas, I'm trying to remember who picked him. I think it was the Steelers that picked him in the fourth round.
Yeah, it was right after the Nassib pick.
Right, and I think that's actually a good pick. I think Shamarco Thomas might even be able to start in year number one. But if the Giants really did have a second-round grade on Nassib and they think they can develop them to the point where they can turn him into a second-round pick down the road or be a long-term backup to Eli, I think it's worth it.
I mean, you got to look at how many years Eli's going to play.
Yep.
I don't know if Ryan Nassib will see time in a Giants uniform. I'm hoping maybe he comes in for one game if Eli goes down or something and has a Matt Flynn-type game. Not to that level, obviously, but
right. Just
a solid game where other teams around the league can look at him and trade for him, and then we can get a lot more
Would you be okay with the Nassib pick if in two seasons, let's say in 2015, the Giants trade Nassib for a three? Would you be satisfied with that pick in the fourth round?
You have to be. I mean, that's how you got to look at it, right, Nassib? I think he's just trade bait. I think they looked at it, they saw a second-round talent guy, a guy that could probably could have started at any of the teams that picked a quarterback. He's a good quarterback. So I think that they can trade him. But, I mean, I might have rather have another linebacker or a safety at that position instead of a trade bait quarterback.
All right, Brandon, appreciate the call, bud.
All right, thanks, man. Go Knicks.
Yeah, let's get him tonight. Let's not deal with the game 7 on Sunday, please. I'm begging you. Can we please not have a game 7 on Sunday? I want to be alive when I show up on Monday morning. Seriously. If the Knicks ever found a way to lose this series, you think you've heard me be chippy on this show before? You will have heard nothing compared to what I'll be like on Monday morning. I beg Victor Cruz people to call up on Monday morning. Beg them. It will be ugly. I will be unpleasant to be around, as the great Bette Midler once said to Cosmo Kramer. I will not be happy. 201-939-4513. Antonio's down in Memphis. Antonio, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah, how you doing,
man? I'm doing right. What's going on, man?
Well, I wanted to piggyback off just off the guy just coming about Justin Pugh.
Sure.
I get that pick, man. I get that pick because the line was deteriorating. It was getting old, man.
Yep.
But, I mean... So you mean, and when David Dale went down last year, that was the end of the season. If you can basically pinpoint that, when not David Dale, but I'm sorry,
Locklear,
yes, that was the season. But anyway, what do you think about Dontari Moore, man? Do you think he's going to be able to compete enough to back up Justin Tuck, or you know, I think his resume in college is enough to surpass Ojemo.
I think Demontre Moore projects as more of a backup to Pierre Paul than he does to Justin Tuck. I don't think he's going to have the mass or the size to be the type of run stopper a left end would be. So I see him more as a guy that'll step in there for JPP, a guy that can, you know, come in on third downs and rush off the edge off of both sides. And I think he can contribute in that sub-package pass rusher role in year number one in those NASCAR packages the Giants like to run out there. But I think down the road he can be a starting caliber right end. And, you know, maybe he could be a left end too. I think that'll be a thing that he has to prove to me that he can do. But I see him more as a right end starter. And quite frankly, with JPP's size and strength, I could see him moving over to left end at some point too before his NFL career is over. Because he is big enough to play the run and the pass.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think down the season I think he's gonna be starting, man. I think Moore will really take that spot, man. And I think they're just gonna move more to Tuck's position.
Well, you know what? If Moore shows them enough where he can do it, great. That means it was an excellent pick. I think you're asking a little bit much out of a third round pick that everyone says needs to get a lot stronger and be in an NFL weight room for a year. But if he shows that he can put consistent pressure on the quarterback, but also stop throwing, remember, that's a big factor here. Whoever the Giants start on that defensive line has to stop the run, too. He has to stand up at the point of attack. I'm not sure Moore can do that yet. But if he can, is it out of the realm of possibility that he winds up a starter at some point this year, especially considering Justin Tuck's injury history? You know, Mathias Kiwanuka, maybe they have to move him back to linebacker. Who knows? It's possible. I'd still classify it as unlikely.
More play in town, Austin or Hankey.
All right, Antonio, appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good one. And I would not count on Marvin Austin starting this year. Marvin Austin's first job is to get on the roster. I mean, he hasn't really taken more than, a dozen snaps in regular season football games over the last 2 years. And I get he's a second-round pick and he has potential, but there's a reason they signed about 3 defensive tackles in free agency and then they drafted one. And it's not because they have a lot of overriding faith in Marvin Austin. Simply hasn't shown it on the field. And this is a show-me offseason for him, and he's going to have to get the job done. 201-939-4513. Dexter's in Vegas. Dexter, what's up?
How you doing, John? I just wanted to tell you that you guys are doing a great job.
And I appreciate it.
And I listen to you guys all the time, even though I haven't talked to you guys in about 6 months, but I listen to you guys every day.
Dexter, I appreciate that, man. No problem.
I just want to tell you, these Giants fans, I mean, come on, I'm one of the biggest Giants fans ever and stuff, but they got to get off this Victor Cruz thing, man, because Victor is not going anywhere. I'm so tired of you explaining to these guys and stuff about Victor. They really need to get off of the kick, really, because Victor knows better and stuff. He's a smart guy and stuff. I'm pretty sure he's going to stay with the Giants and do the right thing and come back and get some practice in before he starts for the season. But enough of that, enough about Cruz. Now, I want to also say thanks to Lynn and Shakes. They kept me going. And, you know, I think you should sign these guys up and stuff, because they call more than anybody.
They do a great job, man. They do a great job on the phones.
They really do and stuff. They keep us going. And now, as far as the starters is concerned, I think the only two starters I think can be a factor is Hankins and Pugh. I think they did a great job of drafting these guys. They did their homework and stuff, okay? The Giants fans got to understand and stuff. These guys have been specked out and looked at for quite some time and stuff, and I'm pretty sure when the time came for them to get picked, them the guys they wanted to pick for, because they know what the future holds and stuff, and they got the Giants stuff that they need. So I'm pretty sure they did a great job with the picks with that. And about the Super Bowl, It's just being in New York is going to be just a great incentive for the Giants to play even harder to be some kind of history maker, because they'll be the first team to play the Super Bowl in their hometown, you know? So, and let me see. Oh, and Moore. I just want to say about Moore. Moore is fast, and he reads the line very, very well. So I'm pretty sure he would be a good prospect for being a starter also for this year. But other than that and stuff, man, everybody should, like I said, get off the kick with Cruz. Hankins and Pugh is a great job of being the pick for the draft. And we look forward for the Super Bowl coming up because, hey, you know, we got some good picks and stuff, and we're going to do great this year.
Appreciate the call, my friend Dexter. Thanks a lot.
All right, guy. Thanks a lot, John.
Hey, you have a good one. 201-939-4513. I'm with him. That's why I didn't really respond there, because I agree. Everything Dexter said is correct, and I do an excellent job. I agree with that part, too. Oh, man. The Knicks better win tonight. 201-939-4513. Non sequitur. Tyler down in Pittsburgh. Tyler, what's going on? Tyler, what's going on, man?
All right. Well, I got two quick questions.
Sure.
One's about the Victor Cruz things, of course.
Okay.
I agree he is going to stay with the Giants, but he's asking for $11 million a year. What do you think they're going to settle at? Do you think something like 8.5 or even lower?
Well, I don't think anybody knows exactly what he's asking for, to be honest with you. If I had to pick a landing spot, if the deal gets done this year and it's a long-term deal before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, I'd say the contract will come down at around 4 years, $32 million, you know, 17 guaranteed, most of that coming in the first 2 years to make Cruz happy. That would be my bet.
Mm-hmm. I can live with that, I guess.
It's a good deal.
I just want to make sure we got that money left for Akeem and JPP.
Well, that's the thing. You really can't afford to allow Knicks and Cruz to both be unrestricted free agents at the same time, because that's when you run into an issue where on the open market, Cruz, some team is going to have cap space and they're going to give Cruz $11 or $12 million. Knicks, if he's healthy this year, is going to get $11 or $12 million. So it's impossible to pay both those guys that amount of money, and that's when you run into the problem of potentially losing one of them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And then one more thing. Reuben Randle, do you think he's going to be playing at the 3 or even 4 spot because of Murphy? I mean, I thought he proved himself last year as a rookie. He did exceptional. But they bring in this Murphy guy and runs a 4-3 or whatever it was. Do you think he's going to be playing 3 or 4?
I think Randall's the third wide receiver. And I think Murphy, does he have a chance to pass him this offseason if Randle plays terribly or gets hurt? Yeah, I guess he has a chance. I mean, he has a lot of speed. He has some success in the league when he was with the Raiders. But I think the Giants envision Randle as the number three guy. And frankly, it would help their negotiating position a whole lot next year. Randle proves he can be a starting caliber wide receiver. So then if Akeem Nicks does happen to leave, that's a guy you slide right into that spot and hopefully you don't miss a beat.
All right, good. Because, I mean, I've watched Murphy. He doesn't really impress me other than, like, going deep, and that's still not even – like, I'm more impressed with Akeem Nicks going deep than Murphy, but hey, maybe he'll turn into something else this year.
Appreciate the call.
All right, have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Tyler. See, I'm winning over these Victor Cruz guys one call at a time. We're making progress, Danny. We're not getting those same calls all the time. People are starting to get it. Mike Farmer on Twitter, happy about that. And this is a tweet he sent in yesterday. This is kind of funny, actually. I guess this is on ESPN First Take. Mike, first of all, I advise you stop watching ESPN First Take. That would be number one. Number two, this is actually pretty funny. Apparently the American Idol guy who sang the anthem at the Knicks game, I'm guessing that's the Knicks-Celtic game from Wednesday night up in Boston, apparently on ESPN First Take, he said he wants Ramses Barden back on the Giants. Oh, man. The Ramses Barden bandwagon continues to roll on, folks. Can't teach height. Can't teach it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Charlie in Maine to wrap up this morning's show. Charlie, good morning. How you doing up there?
Hey, doing great. Great day. Hey, I got some questions. Well, just about the draft.
Sure.
I mean, you know, the Giants keep promoting and PRing that they picked the best player available on their board. Well, that to me means that they don't have a lot of the best players on the board, because Pugh is definitely a pick for need. He wasn't the best player, and everybody knows he wasn't the best player. So just say you picked for need.
Well, Charlie, in fairness, I haven't seen the board. The Giants said he was their highest-rated player.
Why don't they show you the board? Because they won't.
No, but because,
second point. They
don't want some dopey radio and television reporter seeing their draft board. I don't blame them. I would have let me see the draft board either.
It's all over now. Who cares? Okay, second point. Fourth round, when you pick the quarterback, you don't need a quarterback for Eli right now. Maybe 3 years from now you pick up a backup quarterback that's going to actually be here and be the, you know, quarterback that you're going to groom after him. So,
I buy that.
And the thing is, they said now we're picking for the best player on the board. He was our best player. So to me, they picked for reach on one, for need, and then the next round they pick for the best player. So they're all over the place, which is fine. They can pick whoever they want to pick. You know,
right.
I mean, it's their team. So I haven't a problem with that. And the whole thing with Cruz, sign him. Just sign him now. Next year, the cap is going to go up anyway. It's probably going to go up pretty big next year compared to this year. So you're going to have extra money that you're going to be able to sign probably Knicks and maybe JP. You can get him a long-term contract. So to me, let's do now. Don't worry about next year. So, I mean, I'm not saying give him $11 million, but the Giants are going to have to move up a little bit on their numbers, I think, to get Cruz for a long-term deal. So other than that, I don't know. And the other thing is, you know, you keep saying Brewer hasn't shown anything and all these other – I mean, the Giants picked these guys. They picked, like, three or four linemen the last 2 years.
Sure.
So if they missed on these guys, why do you think they actually got to – make a good choice with Pugh?
Well, I mean,
if
they
can't pick linemen that can actually help, why do you think now they picked this greatest guy ever?
Well, Charlie, there's a difference between picking an offensive lineman in the first round of the draft as opposed to picking a guy in the fourth round of the draft, which James Brewer got picked in. And last year they picked two offensive tackles in the seventh round. I mean, if you're getting starting offensive tackles out of the fourth and seventh rounds of the drafts,
where did Deal get picked?
Well, Deal was a guy that worked out. Deal was a fifth-round pick, and he ended up being an extremely great value pick. But to expect guys in the fourth, I mean, I can go through the starting tackles in the league at some point if you guys want me to and figure out how many of those starting offensive tackles got picked in the fourth round and below.
Where did he get picked?
Second.
All right. Where did Sneed get picked?
Second.
Well, then they should have waited to the second round, at least.
Appreciate the call, Charlie. All right, thanks, man. Charlie made me laugh. But look, guys, here's my point. And if you listen to Rob Rang, I think he made a great point. He did a great job to start off the show. If you take the Pew arm length thing out of the equation, he's a top 15 pick. That's how good his production on the field was. And when the Giants went to the film and they took a look at him on tape and they said, look, the arm length is not affecting him on the field, so we're not going to worry about it. And then if he had a production on the field as a left tackle, by the way, at Syracuse, to get picked in the top 15, is he really a reach at number 19? If the only thing that really dropped him down the boards was the arm length thing and the Giants decided that wasn't a factor? Am I saying the pick's perfect? It's not perfect. He's not a guy that, look, the perfect pick for the Giants would have been to sit there and DJ Fluker would have dropped to him at 19 and they would have gotten DJ Fluker. Or Warmack or Cooper would have dropped and they would have got one of those two guys. That would have been the perfect pick for the Giants, A-plus grade down the line. Perfect. But that's the NFL draft. Sometimes fate doesn't deal you blackjack. Sometimes fate deals you a 15. And you got to decide if you want to stay or if you want to hit. The Giants decided to stay. They saw the dealer had a 4, and they said, I think he's going to bust. We don't like what's going to happen if we're going to hit. I see a lot of low cards on the table. I think a face card's going to drop. We're staying on 15. And I think it's going to work out. If you drop down, look, it's a perfect example. The Cowboys are getting killed by everybody for not picking the offensive lineman at number 18 and trading down and then taping Travis Frederick. People complain they didn't get enough for the pick, even though the third-round pick they got, they ended up using a guy that most people had as a second-round talent in the receiver out of Baylor, Terrence Williams, I think his name is, who had like 90 catches and 1,800 yards last year, most productive receiver in college football. They got killed for that, for trading down, because they didn't get... Well, by the way, they had Pugh as their next best offensive lineman, too, and they considered taking him before the Giants did. But they were hoping he would be there when they picked at 31, so he would have been their pick there anyway. And remember, Kyle Long went right after Pugh. So there's another offensive lineman off the board if the Giants don't take one there. So if the Giants don't take Pugh, who was their best remaining offensive lineman there, and they wait till the second round, you're not getting a guy that's going to step in right away at start. Maybe a guy like Warford you can bring in to play guard, but do you need a guard? No, you need a tackle. And Pugh is easily the last tackle left that you think could come in and start in year one. A guy like Menelik Watsu was more of a project. It would have been a stretch for him to start in year number one. But a guy like Pugh, plug him in, you're good to go. And is it a need pick as well as a value pick? Absolutely. Let me put it this way. If Pugh had the grade that he had and he wasn't an offensive lineman, do I think the Giants would have drafted Justin Pugh? If he was, say, a tight end or a safety? No. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they would have taken him. So I think need was a factor. Was it the factor? No, because he was still, according to Jerry Reese, and I expect him to tell the truth here, he was the best player on the board. But I think need had lots to do with it. And when you're making your first-round pick, you're also projecting later in the draft. Because the offensive lineman at spot 19, is more valuable because you know you're not going to be able to get somebody at that same talent level at 47. I think that's what the Giants picked in the second round, right? 47? So you pick the offensive lineman there, and you get the defensive tackle later. In other words, there's a bigger drop-off between Justin Pugh and whatever lineman the Giants would have gotten in round two than there is between Sharif Floyd and John Hankins. Much bigger drop-off between the offensive linemen. So by getting Pugh and Hankins, their combined value is a lot higher than, say, Floyd and whatever offensive lineman they get in round two. So they really did pick for value if you look at it that way. Because you're not picking, you know, two tackles with back-to-back picks in the first and second round. You're just not doing it. So in that way, I think the Giants did pick for value. But I think need goes into the equation, too. You can't let it dominate your decision-making, your draft board, but it certainly plays a role. Everybody, great job on the phones. We've got to cut it short in an hour here. Thank you for calling in. We'll be back with you Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Giants.com. Daniel Magayan, he will join us. He joined us before the draft. He'll join us to continue to wrap up the New York Giants draft. And then the end of next week, I'm going to bring on somebody in one day, or maybe I'll stretch it over a couple. I'm going to bring on somebody from the Eagles, somebody from the Cowboys, and somebody from the Washington Redskins. And we are going to break down the NFC East and how they did in the draft and where those teams stand heading into the 2013 season. I'm really getting ahead of myself here. So that should be a lot of fun. Everybody have a good weekend. Hopefully the Knicks bring home the win tonight. Then I will also have a good weekend. Otherwise, I will be miserable. If they lose tonight, I will be at Game 7 on Sunday. Have my tickets in hand. Very excited about that. We'll be freaking out a little bit, not going to lie. But it should be fun. 70 degrees, sunny all weekend long. A couple of big playoff games. A Game 7 between the Nets and the Bulls on Saturday. That should be a ton of fun. Kentucky Derby, for you people that get into that. I can't get into the Derby. I have trouble enough predicting what humans are going to do in a sport, competing against each other. How the hell am I supposed to predict what the horse is going to do? It's a horse! I don't know. I don't know if a horse is having a good day. How much hay eats? A couple carrots? I don't know. Anyway, great weekend. Enjoy it. A lot of sports. We'll see you on Monday morning, 10 a.m., right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.